How many here are excited about getting into God's Word?
Amen. All right. The lesson for tonight is the end times, part one, signs in these end times.
I'm going to kind of read the outline here, and then I'm just going to expound on a passage of Scripture. All righty. If you have that outline, we'll start reading. In this lesson, you will learn some of the positive and negative signs of the end times. A sign is an indicator or notice of something ahead. It is not given to frighten you, but to prepare you so that you will do the right thing. Some of the signs of the end times. Matthew 24, verses 1 through 13. Luke 21, 8 through 28. The word deception in Matthew 24, 4. Take heed that no one deceives you. Luke 21, verse 8. Take heed that you be not deceived. To deceive means to believe what is false to be true, to be misled and snared, to be betrayed. To deceive someone else means you deliberately misrepresent facts by your words or actions in order to further one's own interests, to beguile. Beguile means to entice a person by giving them promises of gaining something for going along with a plan of action. Mislead is to cause someone to follow a wrong course. To delude. Delude is to fool someone so completely that he or she accepts what is false to be true. Fraud is deliberate deception and dishonesty, depriving a person of property and rights. Betray means that you break your own faith or the faith of someone else while appearing to be loyal. So we want to be ones that are not deceived, right? In Jesus' name, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit by praying on a consistent basis, by reading the Word of God. Amen? All right. Other signs of the end times, departing from the faith. 1 Timothy 4, 1, pride, Obadiah 3, lack of knowledge, Hosea 4, 6, and how to avoid deception and be more alert. Here's a key verse, 1 Peter 4, verse 7, the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. Watch and pray and be sober and alert. Paul the Apostle writes in Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. To pray continuously. How do you pray without ceasing? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. By keeping your life in open communication with God. Speaking with God. You know, as you go throughout your day and a question comes up, a situation comes up in your life, just pray to God and say, God, I'm facing this question. I'm facing this concern. This is what it is. Could you speak to me? And He will speak to you. He will answer your prayers. Amen?
Amen?
All right, the passage of Scripture concerning the end times I want to focus on tonight is Matthew 24. And it's in the lesson. Matthew 24, verses 1 through 13. So let me read Matthew 24, 1 through 13. If you have a Bible, you can follow along. If not, I'll read it to you. It says in verse 1, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when His disciples came up to Him to call His attention to its buildings. I'm kind of going to expound on these scriptures as we go through them. Do you see all these things? He asked. I tell you the truth. Not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now let's focus on this question. It's a key question in the passage. Jesus, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the sign of the end of the age? Verse 4, Jesus responds, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. So Jesus is giving indicators here that we're in the time of the end. Indicators that we are in the time of the end. One of the indicators in verse 5 is that many will come in the name of Christ claiming, I am the Christ, the Anointed One, and will deceive many. You know, I used to do a lot of missionary work in India. And in India, there's a very influential Hindu leader. And
He's a short little guy, and they say he's kind of funny looking, and so forth and so on. He appears to women at night and gives them words of wisdom. And he's got a lot of influence in India, and he actually claims that he is the Christ, or a Christ. He's deceiving many people in the nation of India. He has a following of millions, and he preaches a message of love, but he's a deceiver. And there are many deceivers amongst us in the world, like that Hindu leader today. He says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Here's another indicator that we are in the end times. Hearing of wars and rumors of wars. When President Bush was president years ago, several years ago, we had a war on what? A war on terrorism, right? Such things must happen, but the end, Jesus says, is still to come. Verse 7, another indicator. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We see it in Korea. North Korea against what? Against South Korea. We see nation against nation. Another indicator is this. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Another indicator that we're in the end times is earthquakes and famines. And one of the biggest earthquakes we had this year occurred when? It happened at the very beginning of the year, on January 12th, in the nation of Haiti. It knocked the city out. Just completely leveled so many buildings and took so many lives. Verse 8. All these are the beginning of birth pains. What is Jesus saying in verse 8? He's saying all of these indicators are the beginning of birth pains. In other words, he's saying we are in the beginning of the end. And it could be, friends, that we've been in the end for the last 1,000 or 2,000 years concerning all the indicators we just talked about, right? So all these are the beginning of birth pains. All of these indicators are the beginning of the end times. So we're in the end times right now. Verse 9. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Did you know in the nation of India that when a Hindu woman becomes a Christian, a follower of Christ, and her husband is still a Hindu, he will abuse her? And there's been instances when I've been in India where I've heard stories where the husband literally beats the wife to blood because she's a Christian, because she's going to prayer meetings. She's being persecuted for the gospel's sake. And my friend Kevin here just tonight was telling me where he was ministering, I guess in a setting back in 1988, to a homeless, in a situation amongst some people, and somebody came up and just kind of slapped you right across the head as he was ministering the gospel to a group of people here in Tulsa. This is persecution for the gospel's sake, and it's happening right now. It's another indicator that we are in the beginning of what? We are in the end times. Verse 10, another indicator. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. At which time? In the time of the end. Many will betray the faith. And just recently, some years ago, there was a minister here in Tulsa who was teaching a false doctrine called universalism, which says that everybody one day will be saved. And friends, that is departing from the faith. That is a heresy. That is a teaching that says that there are many roads to God. And we know as believers in Jesus Christ, there are not many roads to God. There is one way to God, and His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. No man gets to heaven except through me. And Jesus said that, right? John 14, verse 6. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. That's another indicator that we are in the end. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be what? Saved. He, she who stands firm till the end will be saved, will be going to heaven one day. And remember, the disciples asked Jesus what question at the beginning of the passage? Jesus, what is the... They didn't ask, what are the signs of the end times or the signs of your coming? They said, Jesus, what is the sign that the end has come? Jesus, what is the sign that your second return is at hand? They use the singular sign, right? In verse 4 of Matthew 24. And here is the sign in verse 14. This is the definitive sign that the end has come, that Jesus will split the eastern sky, appear in the clouds, and take his church back to be with him. And it's in verse 14. Here is the sign that the disciples were questioning Jesus about in verse 4. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. All the other indicators that Jesus spoke about in previous verses were just indicators that we were in the beginning of the end. But in verse 14, Jesus gives the definitive sign that the end has come. What definitive sign is that, friends? That the end has come. That Jesus will appear in the sky. That the gospel will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The gospel will be preached in all the world as a testimony to all nations. This word nations in the original Greek means ethnic groups. It means tribes. You know, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of these ethnic groups in the world today who have never heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ even once. There's people with their own unique language, their own unique way of thinking, their own unique way of dressing and talking. Little ethnic groups of 100 people or 200 people or 300 people that have never even yet heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet, you know, there's groups of people even in Tulsa who may have never heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? We are to be ambassadors of whom? We're to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, helping to take this gospel to all the nations, to all the ethnic groups, to all the tribes. Amen?
Amen.
There's certain groups, even within big cities like Tulsa. You've got like the group called the gangs. You know, you've got the group of people that live in the tents, in tent cities and cities across this world. And you know what? You might be wondering today, well, you know what, Jonathan? I'm so much in need myself. What can I do to make a difference? Friends, you can do something. You've got a mouth. God is giving you the ability to speak. You can speak the gospel of Jesus Christ into the life of somebody who does not know Jesus. Yes, you can do it. Believe it or not, you can do it. God is giving you the ability. Amen?
Amen.
And it's when this gospel is preached to every nation, when every nation has had the opportunity to hear the gospel, that the end will come, that Jesus will appear in the skies to take his church back to heaven with him. Amen?
Amen?
How could you share the gospel of Jesus Christ? How could you do it? The most powerful way of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ is through your actions. Through your deeds. How many here have heard that actions speak louder than words? Let's say somebody is stranded on the side of the road with a flat tire. Some older person, maybe an older lady, an older man, and they can't change their tire. But you've got the energy, you've got the know-how, and you stop and you help change that tire. Guess what you've just done? You've just demonstrated the gospel of Jesus Christ in action. And that person sees there's something different about you. You've got something I don't have. And you can tell them, what I have is Jesus Christ. And you can have him as well. You know, somebody who's lonely out there, depressed, has got no friends. Could you put aside 2 hours a week and talk to that person? Maybe give that person some affection. Maybe just hug them. Tell them, I believe in you and God loves you. That person looks at you and says, wow, this person took out 2 to 3 hours of their schedule this week to spend time with me. There's something different about that person. That person has something I don't have. And the thing you have is Jesus. And you can tell them, you can have Jesus as well as Lord and Savior in your life. I'm talking about sharing the gospel in deed, in action. Amen? And when you share the gospel in action by helping somebody, by speaking encouraging words into somebody's life, it opens up the gateway for you to share the gospel verbally within their life. People are more receptive to hear what you've got to say once you've demonstrated the good news of Jesus Christ. I was in a neighborhood a couple of years ago in South Tulsa. We do work on people's homes here in South Tulsa. And I was just prospecting one Saturday. And I was just driving through this neighborhood. I noticed a young man and I handed him a gospel tract. And I just told him simply, Jesus loves you. And about 2 years later, I was working on his dad's house, which was last November of 09. And he said, Jonathan, I think I remember you, he said. Weren't you the guy in the green pickup truck? You were driving through the neighborhood about a year and a half or 2 years ago? And I said, that was probably me. He said, well, you did something that really helped impact my life. He said, you were driving around, you handed me a gospel tract, and you just said a few simple words. Jesus loves you. He said, you had no agenda, you wanted to get nothing, you weren't out for anything. He said, all you did was share a few words. Jesus loves you. And he said, that was the motivator that started a change in my life. The catalyst that began a change in my life. And he's a believer in Jesus Christ today. And you can do the same, friends. You can go out there to somebody who is lost and just tell them, Jesus loves you. God loves you. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. We are all ambassadors of Jesus Christ. How many here are a believer in Jesus Christ? How many? And then guess what? You are an ambassador of Christ as well. Say it with me tonight. I am an ambassador of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. So what is the definitive sign that the end has come? The definitive marking sign that the end has come and that Jesus is returning is what? Is that the gospel will be preached to every single group in the world. And you have a part to play in every group hearing the gospel. And then Jesus will return. Here's something else that Jesus says in verse 13 of Matthew 24. He who stands firm to the end will be saved. He who stands firm till the end will be saved. Jump down to verse 36, talking about being firm until the end. No one knows about the day nor the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Jump to verse 42. Keep watch, because you do not know in what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have his house broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Verse 45, the key verse. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Who are the ones that are staying firm until the end? The ones who are faithful servants, the ones who are keeping watch over their house. What house are we talking about tonight? The house called your life. The Word of God says it, that Jesus is going to return like a thief in the night. We don't know when he's returning, but his return is very near, friend. My question to you tonight is this: are you ready for the second return of Jesus Christ? It is very near. Last November, right before Thanksgiving, I'd come home from work and I was walking in my courtyard, pacing back and forth. And all at once I heard the Spirit of Jesus, I believe, speak to me.
The Spirit of God was speaking to me and said, Jonathan, tell the people that I am coming back very soon. Friend, the end is almost here. The definitive sign of the gospel being preached to every nation is almost accomplished. And so the question is, are you ready? Jesus is coming very soon. Very soon. Very soon. He's coming very soon. Are you ready for his second return? Are you holy, living a holy life just as God is holy? You know, the Christian walk, friend, is a tight walk. It's a tightrope walk. You can't live just any way you want to live and expect to get to heaven one day. Expect to be taken up when Jesus returns a second time. You've got to live a righteous lifestyle, a holy lifestyle, just as God is holy. What does Jesus say about this in Matthew 7? Matthew 7, he says this in verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. The road that leads to destruction is called Broadway. Verse 14. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Narrow is the road, straight is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I want to be walking that narrow road. How about you? Amen. In order to walk the narrow road, friend, you can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. Let me say it again. You cannot flirt with the world if you expect to get to heaven one day. You can't be flirting with the world. Let me say it again. You cannot have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God and expect to make it to heaven one day. You've got to have both feet firmly planted in the kingdom of God to make it to heaven one day. There's no questions about it. No doubt about it. Hands down. It's not a popular message. People don't like to hear it, but it's the truth. It's straight from the Word of God. Straight from the Word of God. So Jesus Christ might be your Savior tonight. But my question is this. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Now what does the word Lord mean? When I ask people this question, they come up with different answers. What does the word Lord mean to you? Anybody? What does the word Lord mean? It doesn't mean Savior. It means ruler. The one in charge of every part of your life. Amen. The ruler, the one in charge of your thoughts. You can either bow to the world's way of thinking and have one foot in the world and not make it to heaven one day, or you can bow to Jesus' way of thinking. How does Jesus think? He thinks pure thoughts. He thinks holy thoughts, righteous, noble thoughts, forgiving thoughts, loving thoughts. That's the way Jesus thinks. Paul the Apostle writes about it in Philippians chapter 4. You know, with your body, you can either bow to the world's way with your body, or you can bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ concerning what you do with your body. The Word of God says that your body is a temple of God, a temple of the Holy Ghost. It's a temple of God. When you abuse your body by immorality, by smoking, by getting high on drugs, guess what? It's like a slap in the face of God. You can't have one foot in the world concerning your body and one foot in the kingdom of God. You've got to be firmly planted in the kingdom of God, being holy with your body. Amen. Your words. You can either bow to the world's way of speaking. How does the world speak? Every other word is a cuss word, and I hate it when they take God's name in vain. Or you can bow to God's way of speaking. Pure words, holy words, righteous words, words that lead people into relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, you can't have one foot in the world concerning your words and one foot in the kingdom of God. Both your feet have got to be in the kingdom of God, being holy, speaking holy and righteous words. Why? Because the road that leads to life eternal is narrow, but the road that leads to eternal destruction is wide and broad. Your relationships. You've got to have godly relationships. You can either bow to ungodly relationships or you can bow to God kinds of relationships. You can't have one foot in the world concerning your relationships and one foot in the kingdom of God. Both your feet have got to be in the kingdom of God concerning the relationships you have within the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. I'm talking about living a holy lifestyle. I'm talking about walking a tightrope walk in the kingdom of God. It's only those that are walking the tightrope walk that will make it to heaven one day, that will be taken up when Jesus splits the eastern sky to take his church back, friends. So my question to you tonight is this: are you ready? Jesus is coming like a thief in the night at a time that we least expect it. When Jesus returns, remember this, will you be flirting with the world? Or will you have both feet firmly planted in God's kingdom when he returns? He's coming at a time that we do not expect. And his return is very near. You've got to make Jesus Christ Lord over every part, ruler, the one in charge, over every part of your existence. And then you've got to go out and share this good news with others, according to Matthew 24:14, bearing witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ to every group. Amen?